Thanks to those of you who supported the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, Thrivent Choice, we received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Feng Shui, we said, is an ancient Chinese knowledge, which is talking about how the environment will affect people's well-being. So the Chinese has discovered in the environment there are different kind of energy. Some are good energy, which make you improve your health, improve your relationship with people, and also improve your money. And there are negative energy, which will do the opposite.
That's Feng Shui Grandmaster Raymond Lo, featured recently on a PBS Religion and Ethics News weekly story about Feng Shui, joining us to talk about what many people simply regard as, oh, a term of art for interior decorating or design, but has interesting religious roots, Feng Shui. Marcia Montenegro, a former astrologer, founder of Cana Christian Answers for the New Age, based in Arlington, Virginia, and author of an article in the Christian Research Journal titled Feng Shui, New Dimensions in Design. Marcia, welcome back.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on again.
What was Feng Shui before it was a term that we hear on HGTV or from interior decorators and designers?
Feng Shui is an ancient form of divination based on beliefs from Taoism, which is an ancient religion in China. And the basic idea of it is manipulating the flow of qi, this invisible force or energy. When that man on the PBS clip there that you played said energy, good energy and bad energy, what that means is the qi, this universal life force. And they believe that there's good qi and bad qi. And in order to enhance life and health and love, have to have the qi flowing well. And you have to have good qi and repel the bad qi. And so this is all about different methods for doing that.
What is the religious worldview behind, what are the presuppositions behind this notion of qi, its flow, the ability to manipulate that flow both within ourselves and within our environment? How would you describe that worldview or that cosmology?
I would describe it as somewhat animistic and pantheistic, definitely pagan in the sense that it is totally divorced from any Judeo-Christian worldview. It has to do with really manipulation of energy. And there is no God in Taoism. In Taoism, the ultimate is stillness, which is the Tao. And everything comes from the Tao. And what comes from the Tao then becomes movement. And that's where the forces of yin and yang come in. And so the interplay of yin and yang energies along with the five elements of earth, water, fire, metal, and wood are what this is all about. So it's a very, looking at creation as the way that you're going to derive harmony and derive your benefit from creation, or the way that the Tao acts through the yin and yang in creation. So it's not looking to a supreme being.
Yin and yang are generally, at least in popular conception, considered just kind of good and evil. Can you, if you will, adjust that popular view? It seems to me to fall short of full accuracy.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And the yin and yang actually are the two forces from the Tao, and everything in the universe is part of yin or yang. Now, it means shade, and yin is shade, and yang is light. And so they believe that these two forces appear to be opposites. So yin will be associated with water, with darkness, with female energy, with the moon. Yang is the sun, dry things like the desert, male energy, etc. And these forces that seem to be opposite are what comprise our world, and this all is related to yin and yang. However, they believe that these forces, although they appear to be opposite, are actually complementary and need each other. And there are several Taoist texts which clearly state that there is no such thing as good or evil. So yin and yang do not represent at all good and evil in the Taoist worldview, and that is just a way that it's been westernized by people who don't really understand the concept.
So it is a radically dualistic view of the universe, at least in the sense that it is that the universe is both light and darkness, and that the two are interdependent upon one another.
Yes, yes, it's dualistic. Although they believe it all goes back to the Tao, which is one, they believe the way that it's acting out in this world is in this dualism of yin and yang. And yin and yang need to be balanced in order to have harmony. That's part of the purpose of this. You have to have the yin and yang balance. There's a lot of other things that derive from that concept, such as the macrobiotic diet, which became popular in the 70s, and just other ideas in some of the alternative healing modalities out there, is to balance the yin and yang, including acupuncture, by the way. In fact, I've seen one description of feng shui is that it's acupuncture for the home. And that's really a good description, because acupuncture is based on the belief that this qi in your body is blocked, and that's why you have your illness or whatever the problem is. And by unblocking the qi and getting the yin and yang to flow, or to flow more harmoniously, and getting the qi to flow, then you can take care of the problem. And it's a similar thing as far as feng shui in the home goes. In order to get the qi to flow and the yin and yang to be balanced, you have to do certain things to unblock any stagnant qi or to get rid of bad qi. So they do have, I do want to say, they have this idea of good and bad qi, although they don't have the good and evil concept. And this is partly probably coming from superstition, in the sense of good luck and bad luck, because the idea of luck also plays into this, although luck is not necessarily a part of Taoism. So what you have with feng shui is a mixture of a Taoist worldview, a lot of superstition, belief in luck, and this paganism about the earth and divination, forms of divination like geomancy, which is sacred geometry. All of that is part of feng shui.
Marcia Montenegro is our guest. We're talking about feng shui. When we come back, another 10 minutes with her. Stay tuned. How can an understanding of the theology of the cross help in times of pain, suffering, and loss? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Problem of Suffering by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Problem of Suffering, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. business card, and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 4 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your financial support. And we're looking forward to partnering with you again in 2012. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Actually, feng shui covers every walk of your life, everything in life. There's always a logic, a reason behind things happening. So therefore, you have an answer. If you don't know feng shui, don't care about feng shui, that means everything seems to be mystery.
That's feng shui grand master Raymond Lowe talking on PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly about this discipline. Some people regard it simply as a way of decorating your home, but apparently the presuppositions behind it are deeply religious. We're talking about that with Marcia Montenegro. She's a former astrologer, founder of Cana, Christian Answers for the New Age, based in Arlington, Virginia, author of an article for the Christian Research Journal titled Feng Shui, New Dimensions in Design. And you can read this article at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. We are coming to you live. Happy to take your questions or comments on feng shui with Marcia Montenegro. 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Or leave a question or a comment for Marcia at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Jen in Denver, Colorado says, kind of like yoga. Seriously, can't we just exercise or organize our homes without attaching spirituality to either? This really isn't about organizing the home, is it, Marcia?
No, it's not. It has been marketed that way. But feng shui is based on these principles of belief in qi and yin and yang. You can, organize and decorate your home without knowing anything about feng shui and do quite nicely. The thing that I'd like to point out is that it is true that using feng shui will result or may result in something being more organized in the home or in a room looking really nice. You can get a good result from it, but you can get that good result without feng shui. And that's the point, because there is no way to do feng shui without, in some way, paying homage to the spiritual beliefs that underlie it.
Stephanie is in Florida. She says, the way feng shui is practiced in Hong Kong is based on Buddhists' belief. However, I think it is true that the layout of a building can contribute to people's happiness or lack thereof. I mean, this is a far cry, I think, Marcia, from saying, you know, if you put a bunch of tables in people's way, it will tend to annoy them. There's more to feng shui than that, isn't there?
Yes, and absolutely. And feng shui actually doesn't come from Buddhism. It comes from Taoism. Now, Buddhism adapted part of it and built their temples according to feng shui principles, but it's really from the religion of Taoism. As far as the way things are laid out or a building is built, yes, if you have a building that's, you know, where the windows are really small and it's dark, a lot of people would find that depressing, but that has nothing to do with feng shui. It has to do with not enough light getting in the room. You don't need to know feng shui or use feng shui to fix that problem or prevent that problem. Feng shui is going to come in and maybe tell you to do something like the stairs, in order to draw good chi up the stairs, you need to have plants hanging here. Now, you can put plants hanging there and it can look very nice, but that's an idea you could have without even thinking of chi. You don't need to think of chi to do that. So sometimes their advice coincides with something you might think of just from common sense or from, a decorating viewpoint. But that doesn't mean that what they're using is common sense. They're using this concept of qi. For example, I mean, do you think that we need to, on the burners on your stove, do you think you need to be cooking on all burners with a variety of food to help bring in money into your home? Well, that's a principle of feng shui. Also, the front door should be simple and practical and face the sun so that it will attract fame and fortune. Another thing is, do you have a straight sidewalk going to your front door? Well, according to feng shui, you are attracting bad qi, and that's very, very bad. And you either need to completely dig up your sidewalk and make it curved, or you need to make it look curved by planting bushes around it so it looks curved. So you can fool the qi, the bad qi, and keep it out of your front door. I don't think anybody who's trying to make feng shui sound like it's not spiritual would agree with those things, but those are all feng shui principles.
So this is really fundamentally not about aesthetics, not about design,
no,
but ultimately a deeply superstitious view that is set within this kind of worldview that holds to all these impersonal life forces, good or bad, flowing through the universe.
Exactly. It is not about aesthetics. It did not originate that way. They believe it goes so far back. But one of the beliefs is that it originated with the idea of having the graves of your ancestors, your parents and your ancestors, in a good way so that it would be good for you, because they believe if there's bad feng shui at the graveyard, it can affect the descendants. So it started off with having the burial ground done correctly in harmony. And this goes back even further to the idea of man being in the middle of heaven and earth, and there needs to be a harmonious balance between heaven, man, and earth. And this is a Chinese thinking that goes way back, and that became part of the feng shui, and that's represented in something called the I Ching, the trigrams, which are the three things broken up into broken and unbroken lines, and those become representative of man's relationship with earth and heaven. And this is part of the thinking of how to have harmony. You have to have everything in balance. And this went through a lot of different philosophies in China. I mean, Confucianism and then Buddhism. And it was always there, and it would take on different forms and variations, but it still held to these basic principles. It has never been non-spiritual. Feng shui is always based in spirituality.
With about 1 minute here, what would be the kind of nutshell Christian response to feng shui, its notion of luck and impersonal forces in the universe?
Well, of course, as Christians, we know there's no such thing as luck. Luck is based, really, a pagan belief on currying the favor of gods or forces. And we know that God is sovereign, and that as Christians, our sins have been paid for by Christ, and so we have salvation through faith, and we don't worry about these so-called invisible forces, which, of course, in the biblical worldview, do not even exist. So the worldviews are completely at odds with each other and completely contradictory. I hope some of the people who are wondering about this read the article, because I really explain the spirituality of it in the article.
Marcia Montenegro is a former astrologer, founder of Cana Christian Answers for the New Age, based in Arlington, Virginia, author of an article for the Christian Research Journal titled Feng Shui, New Dimensions in Design. We will have a link to that article at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page, and you can find out more about Christian Answers for the New Age also under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Marcia, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
One of the things that the practitioners, the people who have taken this seriously throughout the millennia, are trying to avoid is suffering. Suffering is always at the heart of superstition. How do I avoid it? How do I avoid it for myself and for others? Now, superstition's answer to that is you need to manipulate the world around you or invisible forces in order to avoid suffering or to deal with suffering. That's superstition's answer. It is really the rock bottom heart of fallen man's belief that he can somehow affect the world around him and thereby make his way through this world a little better, mitigate the suffering of himself or others. And it's completely false. Christianity has a very different view of suffering. It is based upon the fact that we have a Savior who has suffered for us. He has gone to the depths of human suffering as the sacrifice for our sins. And then when we encounter suffering, we do not see it as the result of blind forces or bad luck or bad feng shui or bad chi. No, we view it as a tool in the hand of a merciful and powerful God who has sent his Son to suffer in our place. So with the cross as the center, Christian suffering takes on an entirely different focus. That is the focus of our Issues Etc. book of the month for January, called The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope. This is a fantastic book. Put down the book on feng shui and pick up this book, The Problem of Suffering. You'll benefit from it greatly. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for The Problem of Suffering, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find the Issues Etc. book of the month for January on every page of our website, issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll get Jonathan Fitzgerald's reaction to a recent interview with the guy featured in the viral video, Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. We need not fear the forces of the world around us because we know that they are in the hand of our Creator. More than that, that they are in the hand of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We need not fear invisible forces, although the Bible assures us that there are invisible forces out there bent against us. We do not fight this battle against flesh and blood, but against these invisible forces. But the battle has already been won by the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need not fear. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.